Luke chapter 2, please, your Bible. We're going to begin reading verse 8, kind of overlapping some of the things we talked about this morning. Of course, we have the fear not gift that we talked about this morning with Mary and Joseph. And tonight we're going to look at the third time that the words fear not were used in the Christmas story. So Luke chapter 8, trying to get my notes pulled up to the right page here. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 8. If you'll stand with me in honor of God's word, sorry about that. Stand with me in honor of God's word. Some of you are waiting for that. Just stand up, you know. Don't wait on me. Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Back up, read verse 10 again. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not." It's the third time that we're addressing those two words today. "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Let's pray and we'll get into it tonight. Our God in heaven, Lord, I need you. Pray you'd help me. It's been wonderful to be in your house today. It's been wonderful to be in this service today. The song service has been powerful and impactful. We're thankful for that. Now as we get in your word, I pray that you would continue to work on our hearts. Help me not to get in the way. I can do that easily. And so, Lord, I need to be out of the way, and I pray that the listeners would stay out of the way as well, as in don't allow distractions of, not just physical distractions, but distractions of our lives to hinder us from hearing from you. And, Lord, I pray you'd be pleased for what's said, how it's received, and how we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for receiving. There was a survey, a Christmas time survey regarding the stories of Christmas. And in that Christmas time survey, and this isn't necessarily fact, I understand that about surveys, but I found this interesting. Nearly a third of those questioned said that of all the people mentioned in the Christmas story, they identified themselves mostly with the shepherds. Because the shepherds were like us, is what how it goes on here. Average. Anybody above average in here? I knew we'd have a few hands go up. Average, ordinary. Anybody extraordinary? You really are, Jesse. All right, set you up for that one. Average, ordinary, working people. Their days, like ours, were filled with established routines. And they had no reason to suspect that they would be singled out for an invitation to the birthplace of the Son of God. Their lives were mundane, but their lives were completely transformed during one nighttime watch on the hillside. And the Bible says in Luke 2, verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night," just going through the routine of what they normally do. And then all of a sudden their life changed in a moment. "And lo, there was And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore, what? Afraid. And like Mary and Joseph before them, they respond to the angelic Christmas tidings of good news with fear. Just picture these rugged men. These are men's men. He said they're just sheep. No, they're animals. All right, they're livestock. And whether it's cattle or sheep or goats, and especially with how they had to handle them, and that being their livelihood, their living. These men hardened by work outside all the time, hardened by weather. They were faithfully tender towards their flock at the same time. If they were shepherds, tender when they needed to be, and yet hard when they needed to be as well. Jesus is our good shepherd, amen. It just reminds me of that. And still kind of catching my breath after watching teens sing. Sorry about that. A moment ago, these shepherds, you put yourself in their shoes. Just a moment ago, they were sharing the campfire stories. Just a moment ago, they might have been taking a break. Just a moment ago, they're fighting off a wolf. They're just doing their job. Maybe they're just trying to keep each other awake. But then very quickly they become dumbfounded in fear-induced silence. Now think about a shepherd tonight. A shepherd no doubt regularly faced circumstances that would cause most of us to cower in fear. You say, how hard can it be to take care of sheep? Well, their job was to defend the sheep. Collectively, these rugged shepherds must have warded off maybe hundreds of predators to protect the sheep. A lot of Mondays, not every single Monday, it's been a couple weeks now, but a lot of Mondays I'll go hunting, and Kansas is bad with coyotes, man. I mean, it's terrible. And when I know that they run away, I know that they smell humans, they stay away, I get all that, but it's kind of eerie when it's getting dark outside and all of a sudden you hear this out there, but it's not just one or two. I'm talking, that was pretty good, wasn't it? I didn't plan that at all, but it's countless. Brother Carlos went with me a couple weeks ago. There were a bunch of them. I mean, everywhere I've hunted, I've heard coyotes. It's just part of it, but they were like right next. I'm like, where are these things? There's a bunch of them out there. And in that area, if you shoot a deer and you don't kill the deer, but it eventually dies, you don't find it, by the next morning, they're eaten up by coyotes. I mean, it's bad. It's really bad out there. And if that's kind of eerie to me, you know, and sometimes I hear, I'm like, you sure we don't have wolves in Kansas? I mean, it's just kind of, but that's kind of creepy to me. And I know, you know, I've got a weapon and they're scared of humans, but I have a feeling 20 coyotes can take down a human. Just saying, if they're hungry enough. And it's kind of scary. But so if I know that now imagine if I had a herd of sheep out there in Kansas, I'd be fighting them off every day. Like every day, not just once in a while, every morning, every evening, at dusk and dawn, and then there'd be a few that would trickle in throughout the day, but I'd be fighting them off every, this was their job. These were tough men. This is what they did constantly. Being a shepherd wasn't just some easy job where they just sit back and I mean, why do you think David was so good at with his sling and he fought? I mean, David was just a boy, 17-year-old boy, and by that time he had already fought off a bear and a lion. Guys, where you at? So these are tough guys. They weren't just some pansy individuals, they were tough men, and they were sore
afraid. They were scared. On that first Christmas night, a night in which nobody could have prepared them, in a single moment, their confidence was seized by fear and they fell to the earth trembling. Just like that in our lives, we can be going throughout our day, our week, just in confidence, just feeling good, just taken away, just like that, by a circumstance, by a situation, by our own doubt, by our own fear, by something that happens, a life-changing event, and we can be paralyzed in fear as well. The most confident person in here, it can happen to just like that. They found peace, though. They got to this point of no fear. They got to this point of fearing not. How do they do that? Look at verse 10. Because the question is, how do you find this when you enter that grip of the unexpected? And the angels gave the shepherds the answer to this very question. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now I want to talk just a moment about why they were afraid first, before we go on. The scenes in Luke chapter 2 is just, like I said, ordinary night of work. Going about their business, doing what they did every night. And I said earlier, then something amazing happened. And verse 9 is that amazing thing. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. It's dark. Maybe the stars are out. Maybe they're leaning back, saying, there's the Big Dipper. You know? Maybe they heard this, and a, and one of them said, oh, that's just that sheep we don't like, so let's just let the wolf get that one. I don't know. This an ordinary night. And then all of a sudden, the angel Lord. And says, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Somebody ever walk in your room when you're sleeping and they flip that light on? Like, my eyes! That's how parents ought to wake their kids up. And then with a cup of water as well. There's the light. There's the angel of the Lord. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. It's not something that I can try to articulate it. I can try to explain it, but I've not experienced this, and neither have you. And this was something that caused these tough, rugged men to be afraid. They heard a heavenly announcement from a very special messenger. The angel who appeared to the shepherds was no regular angel, by the way. Although the sight of a regular angel would have been shocking and amazing enough. This says the angel of the Lord. I know I've talked about this before, but the angel, when it says the angel of the Lord, that's something different than, hey, there's some angels. The angel of the Lord was a visible appearance of God to man and was sent on special occasions in history. There's a handful of other times where you get those words, the angel of the Lord, kind of like when the angel of the Lord came unto Joshua before they went and did what they needed to do around the city of Jericho. And there's several times, but it says there that the angel of the Lord that appeared here. Notice in Matthew 1:20, turn there please real quick, Matthew 1:20. It's the same angel that appeared to Joseph just a short time earlier. We talked about Joseph and Mary this morning when they were told, be not afraid. Matthew 1:20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, why isn't this just like Gideon? Gabriel. Why isn't this Gabriel? Because Gabriel didn't mention. like he was mentioned when Mary received the announcement. Mary received the announcement. Gabriel, the angel, was mentioned. Gabriel is also mentioned in the Old Testament when he prophesied the coming of Jesus Christ. But this is the angel of the Lord. And it says in this instance, back in our text in Luke, that the angel came upon the shepherds, which gives us the idea of this angelic being kind of overshadowing or hovering above the shepherds as they worked in the field. That in itself would have been just like intimidating. How many of you saw, let's just talk about some things we've seen in the sky that were pretty awesome. How many of you seen a comet? Okay. How many of you seen an eclipse? You saw the eclipse, a full eclipse. You can still see. So you used your glasses. That's good. All right. How many of you have seen Elon Musk's satellites going across the sky? Okay. I mean, we're just talking about things that are like, wow, this is kind of cool, right? We see some things. There's clouds can do some pretty crazy things. And there's different names for different effects that happen. All God designed, by the way. But there's some pretty awesome things that we've seen. And we go, wow. In this case, you'd be going, ah! I mean, bright, shining light. And overwhelming, overshadowing them. That in itself would have been intimidating and a cause for worry, but this angel was not alone. The Bible tells us then in Luke 2:13 that there was a multitude of angels. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now the word for host there is the same word that is used for the word army. It means army, actually. That's what it means. I should restate that. It's not the same word that is used for army. That word, the Greek word for host there, the definition of it is army. So we have a picture of a great many angels, perhaps spread across the sky as far as the shepherd's eye can see from left to right and from north to south, east to west. I mean, the sky is filled with these angels. All bearing the same message of praise to God. Glory to God in the highest. They're shouting out. Angels are ministering spirits, often used to deliver God's messages. And considering they were announcing the greatest event in human history, it is no wonder this was a job for an army of angels. Now, I don't know if... I'm me, okay? So I like to use my imagination and it might be that sometimes in the Old Testament, especially when an angel would deliver a message in those times I'm sure they're doing the Lord's work, right? They're messengers for the Lord. So maybe they're always excited. But this is the greatest announcement that's ever been made. So we don't just have one angel making this announcement. We have a host of the heavenly angels filling the sky, making the greatest announcement that's ever been made. You know, when your kids come in and they might, you know, you ask them, how's school? Fine. You know, did you learn anything? Yeah. What did you learn? I don't know. Did you get in trouble? No. Okay, we're good. No. Their announcements aren't too enthusiastic. But, I mean, you know, maybe there is something where they come home. You don't have to ask them, but they come home. Mom, Dad, in practice today, I got put on first string, right? I'm a starter on the basketball team. They get excited about it. And then especially little kids, they come in and they're excited. Josiah set up some Christmas lights outside with my wife yesterday, and I come around the corner, and he comes running to me. He's like, Dad, we got the Christmas lights on. Come see them. It's pretty cool. I like it. He was excited about that. Some announcements we get a little more excited about than others. This is the greatest announcement that's ever been made in the history ever. And you have a host of angels announcing this. This would have been a pretty impactful, pretty exciting, pretty awesome thing that happened. This is similar to what we'll see in heaven. Go to Revelation chapter 5.
Verse 11. I'll read verse 11. You read verse 12 out loud with me. Verse 11 says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10. So now we have an idea of this host of angels. We're getting kind of more specific on numbers here. This is how specific it is. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a bunch of angels. Amen? Read verse 12 with me. Ready, begin. "Saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Now I have a question. Be honest. How many of you just now did not read that with a loud voice? Raise your hand. You did not read it with a loud voice. Okay, how many of you could have been louder? Let's do it, okay? Because this is what's going to happen. Now, we're talking about 10,000s and 10,000s and thousands of them. And if they're excited about it, let's get excited about it. If this meant something to them, they don't even have the privilege of what we get to have of knowing what salvation is all about. We have more reason to be excited than they do. So let's read it again, verse 12. "Not to be silly, not because I think you're a bunch of children, but let's just try to imagine. I want you to experience what it's like for a group like this to be loud. And then just use your imagination what it's going to be like in eternity. Verse 12, here we go, ready to begin. "Saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Amen. That's awesome. I believe that brings honor to God. In Hebrews, you see the same thing. Hebrews 1:6 says, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten in the world, he saith, 'And let all the angels of God worship him.'" What a thought. What a thought that Jesus is surrounded by an angelic host, praising his name, and glorifying God, and worshiping him. But they had an important message for the shepherds. Back to our text in Luke 2, verse 10. Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." This message was first of all a message of assurance. That's what the words "fear not" give us. They give us assurance. Fear not. Literally, stop being afraid. Stop. The word translated "fear" is from the Greek word phobia. Does that sound familiar? But it carries a connotation of this: being put to flight by terrifying or to be scared away. And the angel told the shepherds not to fear. Now, why do the angels tell the shepherds not to fear? The angel told the shepherds not to fear because they were afraid. Otherwise, the angel would not have told them, "Fear not." And so they were afraid, and they were not just a little afraid. The Bible says they were sore afraid, an expression that implies this. If the word for fear is phobia, then sore afraid would be megaphobia. They were very afraid. They were terrified. They had no idea what was happening. They were shocked by the sight of the angel of the Lord and then the heavenly host that just came from nowhere. There it is. And perhaps they wondered what they did wrong, or where are they going to die, or what's happening. But with the two words, "fear not," the angel of the Lord sought to bring assurance. The angel was saying there's no reason to be terrified. God didn't want them to be frightened. God wanted them to be calm. Because his message wasn't a message of condemnation. His message wasn't a message of doom.
His message wasn't a message of judgment. His message was rather a message from God that had come, that God had come to be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. So this message was a message of assurance. But second, this message was a message of acceptance. In verse 10, there, the angel followed up the instructions to fear not by saying that he had brought the opposite of fear. That he had brought good tidings of what? Great joy. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The word translated good tidings is a word I can't pronounce. I'm not even going to try. E-U-A-G-G-E-L-I-Z-O. Evidently, I pronounced draught wrong this morning. Brother David thought it was his ministry to correct me on that. And he did. Believe it or not, draught, I mean, he showed me. He's absolutely right. It's pronounced draft. How many knew that? The word's draft. They brought in a great draft, not a great draw deficiency. The G-H makes an F sound, kind of like a P-H would. Who knew? Brother David did. But, so I'm not going to try to pronounce this word because I don't want to get corrected again. But see what happens when you correct me after church. You get thrown under the bus, Brother David. He can handle it. The word translated good tidings is a word that I mean, not that we need the Greek word to figure this out, okay? But the word is good news. But here's the thing. It's the same word. Where it says good tidings, great joy, my point is the same word used there is the same word that we see in the Bible for the word gospel. I love that. Because the gospel is the what? Good news. I love it. It's awesome. This good news proclaimed by the angels is for everyone, by the way. It says, good tidings of great joy which shall be to how many people? All people. God in his love accepts anyone who comes to him in faith. Accepts anyone who comes to him believing and accepting him as their personal Lord and Savior. And so John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. And people who are saved, you're saved tonight, you rejoice in the fact that salvation is not only for those who are members of some exclusive club, but everyone who accepts Christ as Savior, everyone can experience the forgiveness of sins, the assurance of eternal security. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what dark sins are in your past. The good news is available to all who will believe. This was a message of assurance. This was a message of acceptance. And then third, this was the message of anticipation. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Again, I mentioned it before, but I imagine them being excited about this. Imagine some anticipation here. And this is something that they wanted to say. This is something they were excited to say. This is something they were waiting for thousands of years to say. They couldn't wait. No doubt there was already at this point now, peace in the hearts of Mary and Joseph. Now, we talked about how they had struggled when they first got the announcement of the coming of Jesus Christ. But by this point, the day of they're excited. They're anticipating. The Son of God, I'm about to give birth to the Son of God. I imagine the excitement that Mary and Joseph had. No room in the inn, who cares? Let's just, I can't wait for God to work this out. But all those who know God, all those who are saved today, also can have that same peace, that same excitement. Because he's coming again. Amen? He's coming again. Could be today. Could be before I'm done preaching. It could be tomorrow. But as long as we keep running the race, Serving the Lord, we can look with anticipation for the coming of Jesus Christ. If we're living for ourselves and for the world and for the things that Satan would have us to be distracted with, then we can't look forward to the coming of Christ in anticipation. No, you're saved, you're going to heaven to die. If you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. Praise God for that. But I sure would rather live my Christian life in anticipation of his coming, knowing I'm right with God, than living for the world and being living in fear because I know I'm not right with God. And to serve God and to be faithful to God. But he'll help us with that. In fact, John 14, turn there if you would. John 14. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So this fear not gift that we're talking about, this peace is promised to those who believe him now, but peace will also come to us in the future. You know, for every Old Testament prophecy about the first coming of Christ, I have not counted this, I'm told, and I'm sure you've heard this. For every Old Testament prophecy about the first coming of Jesus Christ, there are 8 about the second coming. Consider this from Isaiah. Isaiah 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born." This is hundreds of years before Christ is born, by the way. This was written hundreds of years before Christ was born. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called," can you say it? "Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." It says in verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I don't know the day, I don't know the hour, but I believe the word of God. Soon Jesus will return as the Prince who will bring peace to the earth, fulfilling his promise. Looking forward to that day. Look at verse 15 of our text, Luke chapter 2, verse 15. So the shepherds hear this news, and they're told, go, you know, see this child. Find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They didn't not take their time about following through with these orders that were given to them by the angel. See, the shepherds determined to discover for themselves if what God had told them through the angels was true, and it says they made haste. It says there in verse 15, "And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem." Now see, you know, you understand the Bible doesn't tell us everything that everybody said, right? In fact, the Bible tells us regarding Jesus Christ that the books cannot contain all that Christ had done and all that Christ had said, right? So let's apply that to the shepherds here tonight, okay? After the angels leave, my personal opinion, I'm not adding to Scripture, is this, that I don't think the very first words were, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." I think that was said. I know that was said because God said it was said. God doesn't lie, right? But I think they went, "Oh, that was cool. Did you see what I saw? What was that? Where'd they go?" And then they said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this saying which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph
and the babe lying in a manger. Go to Bethlehem. Town of Bethlehem, 6 miles south of Jerusalem, known for its fertile hills and valleys, ancestral home to several well-known Bible characters. You know, Rachel, the beloved wife of Jacob, she was buried there. The original home of Naomi, mother-in-law to Ruth. Setting, it was a setting for much of the book of Ruth. Perhaps the most important person connected to Bethlehem outside of Jesus Christ would have been David. 1 Samuel 17:12 tells us that. In fact, it was in Bethlehem that the prophet Samuel anointed David as successor to King Saul. So there's some history there in Bethlehem. And it seems amazing that with a rich history, it was in, at that day and that time considered just a common, ordinary town. But the Bible tells us, the Bible literally tells us that was the case in Micah 5, verse 2, and it says that that's, it's the Bible says in Micah 5, 2 that Bethlehem is little among the thousands of Judah. But the greatest person ever to be in Bethlehem obviously was Jesus Christ. And while the town was ordinary, and you got a stable and a manger, there was nothing at all common or ordinary about the person the shepherds saw lying in a manger. They saw the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, lying in a manger in Bethlehem. That's awesome. So I would love to have been there to see that. You'll see Him, if you know Christ as your Savior, face to face one day. You should make haste in your life to prepare for that day. How do I do that? Well, first of all, you got to be saved. Well, how do I do that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Put your faith and trust in Him. If you have questions about that after the service, we want to help you. Know for sure heaven can be your home. You don't want to pillow your head at night wondering. Say, okay, how else do I prepare for that day? Live for the Lord. Do what's right. Honor God. Live in a way that it wouldn't surprise somebody for you to say, I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus. Would they be surprised? Well, it's weird, though, because the argument there is, well, a lot of people say they believe in Jesus. Like, oh, I believe in Jesus, too. Yeah, but you want them to be able to say, yeah, I knew that. I knew you did. You're one of the Bible thumpers, aren't you? Amen. They saw Jesus. That would have been awesome. It's going to be awesome when you see Jesus. It's going to be awesome. Now, we all understand that we are far from perfect. And we will oftentimes rationalize and compare ourselves to others. And we will sometimes convince ourselves that we're better than we truly are. But we need to have the mindset that these shepherds had when they felt unworthy to be there. Because compared to God's standards, even the best of us are miserably lacking. And I don't know who the best of us is in here. But even the best of us are miserably lacking. None of us, are any of us worthy of the gift of God? No. And that's why we need what Jesus offers, and that's God's forgiveness, God's peace, God's gift to fear not. And then look at verse 17. They shared this heavenly amazement in Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. I said amazement. I meant to say announcement, but it is a heavenly amazement as well. Luke chapter 2, verse 15 says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the saying which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." They went and told everybody. "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them.
by the shepherds. Put yourself in their shoes just for a moment. I know we've been doing that throughout this message, but imagine how they must have felt to have seen these angels and then to have been able to witness Jesus Christ, their newborn baby. They might have wondered, why did God pick us? Out of all people, why did God pick us shepherds to see this sight? And even better, after we've seen it, what do we do now? What do we do now with what we've received? Same thing you and I have to do with what we've received. We've received the gift of Jesus Christ. If you know Christ as your Savior, you have received the gift of Jesus Christ. And they went around and they couldn't help themselves. They had to tell people. And we ought to be the same way. It was prayed tonight in our men's prayer meeting tonight that Lord, give us a burden for souls. One of the men prayed. Give us a burden. Because that's what the word said in that prayer were, because that's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. We ought to have a burden. See, God had a bigger purpose for these shepherds than just, hey, Jesus is being born over here in Bethlehem. Go check it out. That wasn't the case. He had a bigger purpose for them. I want you to tell everybody else about it. Hey, you didn't place me on earth to just live and do my thing. He didn't place you on earth just to work a job and just to be, I'm not belittling what responsibilities we have, but just to be a mom or a dad or a child or a teenager or just to work a job or just to whatever. But he has a specific, I believe, he has a specific purpose, a specific holy calling for your life. And amongst whatever it is God's will is for your life, in that will is this, to make him known in the world. Amen? Make him known. And so, why did he call them? Well, let me say this. God gave this call to worried men. Say, well, I have fear. God's given you a call. God can use our worry and our weakness if we'll let him. He called working men. We already talked about that. He called willing men. And he wanted them to be witnessing men. Go to Psalm 66:16. We're going to close with this. Psalm 66:16. See, if we'll remember truly what God has done for us through salvation, paying our sin debt and securing our heaven as our eternal home, we should not be able to keep silent. That's the thing. We should not be able to keep silent about what God has done for us. Like we should be as excited as Josiah coming in and saying, Dad, or I was outside. Dad, come look at the lights on the front of the house. They're done. They're awesome. He couldn't help himself. He had to tell me. I said, just a second. Dad, come on. Grab my hand. Let's go. We should be that excited to tell people what God has done for them. Psalm 66, verse 16. Let's stand together. Let's all stand together. We'll read this and then we'll pray. So I'm going to read some verses there in verse 1 and a few following that, but then we're going to jump to 16. The Bible says in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto God, all you lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Angels did it. We ought to do it. We'll be doing it in Revelation 5. We'll be witnessing them doing it in Revelation 5, and we'll also be doing it for all eternity. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works, or how powerful, that word terrible is there. It doesn't mean like a terrible thing, like bad. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. Now look what he's done. He's turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken, which I was in trouble. Now, would you jump to verse 16? Say it out loud with me. Ready to begin. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. You fear God tonight? The cry here is, come and hear, and I'll declare what God's done for me. What has God done for you? Well, we could go on and on about that. Anyway. Declare it. Declare it. With excitement, with anticipation. With joy, with good news, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we are thankful for this beautiful, wonderful story. And thank you, Lord, for a freshness and a newness that it can bring even in our hearts, in our lives. Of no doubt, many have read this time and time and time again. But thank you, Lord, that you can impress on our hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God, just to make it alive again. And Lord, we thank you for that. I pray you'd help us to respond now as you'd have us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.